Page 32. Exercise 2.
You will hear a group of art history students going round an art gallery with their teacher. For questions 1 to 5, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which best fits according to what you hear.
Mm. What are we going to see here? Mm-hmm.
Now, let's move along to the next gallery. Whose turn is it to tell us about the next painting? Amanda, is it you?
Yes, this is the one I've prepared.
Good. Now, I've got one or two questions for Amanda to guide us through this painting. So if you could all pay attention, we can get started. Brian! Thank you. Now, as you can see, it's a pre-Raphaelite painting. So we're talking 1880, 1890. And what can you tell us about this, and other pre-Raphaelite paintings for that matter, compared to what came before?
Well, there was very definitely a reaction against some of the earlier concerns. Mm-hmm. For example, the pre-Raphaelites didn't believe in the idea that it was important to be true to nature or realistic. This is a good example. It's by the painter Burne Jones, completed in 1884, and it shows a lot about his philosophy of painting.
Okay, and what was it exactly?
Well, in his own words... Is it okay if I use my notes?
Yes, of course.
He said that a painting should be a beautiful romantic dream of something that never was, never will be, in a land that no one can define or remember, only desire.
So, in other words, the very opposite of realism.
Mm.
No practical lessons for modern industrial societies or whatever.
Yes, exactly. And this painting is in many ways very typical of Burne Jones. In fact, his wife later said it was his most distinctive work, the one that really summed up what he thought.
Okay, tell us about the story it tells.
It's called King Cophetua and the Beggar Maid, and it's based on an old legend from early medieval times about a king who falls in love with a beggar girl and finds that his love for her is greater than all his wealth and power.
Was it a well-known story?
Yes, most people knew it well, but only through reading Tennyson's poetry, in which he wrote about it, rather than from the original story.
So it's another example of what we were talking about earlier, the link between the Romantic movement in literature and the movement in art. Do go on.
In the painting, the artist imagines the king sitting at the girl's feet, gazing at her in adoration.
Mm-hmm.
Burne Jones said he was determined that the king should look like a king and the beggar should look like a queen. And he had certain details, such as the crown and the maid's dress, specially made for him so that he could capture the detail. The setting has echoes of 15th century Italian art, particularly Mantegna and Crivelli, and it's all elaborately decorated with highly wrought textures and jewel-like colours. If you look at the clothing, you can see what I mean. The two characters in the background have got these rich, flowing clothes, and there's the same richness in the king's flowing cloak.
So what is he trying to tell us about here? What about these anemones? Do they have any particular significance, do you think?
Yes. The maid is holding a bunch of anemones, and if you look closely, you can see that some of them have fallen on the steps by the king. The flowers are a symbol of unrequited love, and there's a lot of personal feeling in this painting, as there is in much of his work. At the time he was doing this, Burne Jones had met and fallen in love with a girl called Frances Graham, but she then married someone else.
Ah.
So it's likely that the king represents Burne Jones, and the queen represents Frances Graham. And the painting shows his feeling about losing the woman he loved.
Are there any other themes that the audience in 1884 would have recognised, apart from on this personal level?
Yes. To the general public, it would have had a completely different meaning, which they would have recognised quite easily. They would interpret the painting as being about the rejection of worldly wealth and the elevation of love above everything else.
Yes, absolutely. And that was a message that was very close to Burne Jones's heart and was very relevant for late Victorian Britain. Well, thank you, Amanda. And now we'll move on to the next artist.
You're such a teacher.
Brian, that includes you.